This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it is Game of Thrones morning.
Oh. Now,
if there was ever going to be a day that I don't think it's ever going to happen, not for me anyway. If there was a day where I'd wake up really early and watch a finale, it might have been today. But I can't even get myself to do that because I can see it whenever I want. You see, this is 2019, and you have on demand now. You can watch something when you want to watch it. Why the hell would you watch it when someone else wants you to wake up at 3 in the morning and then be useless for the rest of your Monday? So where was I at 3 o'clock this morning?
Fast. In bed asleep. See, as a person who has a lot of fanatical ways with me, I disagree. I do want to be part of the entire hub as everyone experiences something.
And by the way, there are already spoilers going out, so if you are a big Game of Thrones fan, then today just stay the hell away from social media. It's just going to upset you, and if someone spoils it for you and you're particularly uptight about what might happen and which characters might live and which ones might die, and maybe you've got your own theory going on.
So what sentence could someone say that would constitute a spoiler?
If you said who was eventually going to sit on the Iron Throne, that would really...
That would fuck it up for
a lot of people, yeah. It would be a very bad thing.
Is it how many people are down to the wire?
Well, it could be anybody right now, because, I mean, a lot of them are obviously dead through the course of the series, but... I haven't seen it, so I can't do a spoiler, so I don't actually know. But there are a couple of candidates. And look, if you spend 2 minutes on the internet, just 2 minutes on YouTube watching fan theories and, you know, possible leaks. Mm. You type in the word Game of Thrones, and then you type in another word, spoiler, Game of Thrones, theories, Game of Thrones, possible endings, and you will find a slew of ideas, and any one of those could be correct. And some people have actually made a career of kind of like being the CIA of these kinds of shows, and they've got their, like, fly drones over the set, and people do go, they'll go to ends, it's unimaginable, to try and find out what goes on before it happens. And I don't see the point. Like, to me, if someone's going to try so hard to discover something that they could discover just by waiting a little bit and watching the show, that shows me those people have absolutely no patience. They've got no ability to delay gratification. They spoil things for themselves, and then they have these theories, and so what if you're right? Like, who in the whole world is going to remember, oh, you were the guy who predicted the Game of Thrones ending? No one. No one on earth ever is going to go, wow, you're so brilliant because you predicted the end of a TV show. What they'll do is they'll spoil it for themselves because they don't get the joy of watching the show and just having the fun.
Well, they do get the joy of making money, because if they know anything and they put together a video of whatever on YouTube, they're going to make a lot of money.
Like your favorites, Gareth. Titty Westbrook.
Who's that again?
Tati.
Oh, right.
Tati and James Charles.
And James Charles.
All right, so let's just catch up on that one quickly. How are we doing on that one? Because for people who don't know, this is completely unimportant, but it's still fun to watch. So there are these two makeup artists. The one mentored the other, and she's a woman and he's a guy, and he's become this real...
She's in her 30s, he's 19.
Right, he's this douchebag, and he's gone online, and he's just been, like, out of control, and people don't like him anymore. So they... What's been happening is that steadily he has been losing followers and subscribers to his YouTube channel, and she's been gaining them.
Which is their commodity.
And by the way, we're talking about people who have like 14 million, 16 million Twitter followers, YouTube subscribers.
Yeah.
This is mad. And you know what they do? Makeup. That's what they do. So it shows you, if you have an idea in the world in 2019, you're really passionate about it, even if it's something that you think, oh, well, half the population don't care about makeup. Yeah, you know, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Still make it work. And let's say half the population are women who don't wear makeup. So now you're down to a quarter. Plus, let's say you're talking about products that are too expensive for most people to afford. So that cuts it down even further. And then you end up with 14 million? The guy was at 16, right? What's his name?
James Charles. He was at 16,500,000.
Right.
She was at 5.9, call it 6 million.
Very good, by the way.
He is currently at 14,670,000.
He, sorry. Okay, so he's dropped by like 2-3 million.
And she is at 10,345,000. Wow. The difference between them now is 4.3 million subscribers. It's flattening out a bit. A lot of people are going back to James Charles, and it's all because he's released a video now. As a comeback, he actually did this PR stint, which was really awkward and embarrassing and weird. They called one big media, probably from the Daily Mirror or something like that, because he's on tour in Australia at the moment.
Right.
And this one media person with a camera followed him, knew which car he was getting out of, which he would have only have known if they'd been tipped off by his PR group.
Yeah.
And started following him in the airport, asking him questions. And James Charles just ignored him and had this sort of solemn, sad look on his face.
Oh, can't.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. And then he released a video. Firstly, Jeffree Star. Jeffree Star has, I think, 14 million subscribers as well. Mm-hmm. He's another makeup artist. He's, like, very out there.
Oh, there's enough room for everybody.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay.
He's a very scary-looking, tattooed male who looks like a woman.
Okay.
And he doesn't take any shit from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't mess with him.
Right.
He's like kind of evil looking.
Okay.
he chimed in and said and took Tati's side and called James Charles a predator.
Wow.
For preying on
you know, when makeup,
young gay
when makeup
men.
Makeup artists go rogue.
On young straight men, because he's
right.
gay.
Okay.
Because James Charles has always admitted that he likes straight guys, because he likes to try and turn them.
Okay.
And Tati is calling him out and saying, this is wrong. Tati's witnessed it herself, where there was a waiter at her dinner the one night in a restaurant. Apparently, James Charles finds these young straight guys and holds them up in his hotel room.
They're irresistible to him, right?
Yeah. He holds them up in his hotel room when he's out and about. Locks the doors so that they can't get out.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Oh, what?
Okay. And Jeffree Star, who's had a long-term relationship with a straight guy, actually, and they're actually really sweet together, him and Nathan. Nathan has banned James Charles from their house because he's called him a sexual predator.
Huh.
Then
the makeup claws are out.
Jeffree Star even climbed into James Charles's brother.
At this point, this is, you think I got boring with Game of Thrones? This is a lot of information. Jesus.
Well, just tell me when to stop.
Okay, so James, what? Has a brother now?
He's got a brother, and Jeffree Star was even calling out his brother on certain things.
Wow, getting mean.
So eventually James Charles made a long video. And this time he was all put together. He had his makeup on and his lashes and his nails. And he had a comeback for everything that Jeffree Star and Tati Westbrook have said.
Oh, goodness.
His subscriber count is now going up again.
Hmm. This just shows you how dumb people are. They're following
so fickle.
Yeah.
So fickle.
All right, well, go on. Knock yourselves out. So, listen, this morning we are starting something new. There is a new 7 a.m. feature that we're going to be bringing you once a week, which will deal with cryptocurrencies. So that's back on the rise. In fact, this morning I see Bitcoin's at $8,093 and Ethereum at $254. So our timing is good with starting this up again. A lot of people more interested in the altcoins, you know, the alternative cryptocurrencies. So we'll get to those at around 7 o'clock this morning. Don't miss it. Brand new business in South Africa, and it's an international business, and you might want to take some interest in them. So all of that's coming up. But yeah, this today is definitely going to be the day for a lot of people that you'll see some very tired people at work. And the reason I know this is because I went onto my my Instagram feed this morning, and I saw how many people I know. Like, these are adults who have responsible jobs and that's stuff to do today.
Children.
Yeah.
School.
Well, children who got school. I don't follow a lot of kids who are at school, but I imagine there's tons of people who are at school and varsity who are not going to get through today without falling asleep at the desk. It's going to be a tough day.
Because how long are these? They're like 2 hours or something.
This is about 80 minutes, they say, this last episode. And the reason people are excited about it is because this is the build-up. And when we all started watching the first season, we thought, yeah, it's a good show. It's a little bit weird, this fantasy thing. There's dragons, there's, you know, medieval armor and castles and battles. And, you know, a lot of people thought, it'll be okay. But seemingly, human beings right now in 2019 are hungry for fantasy.
Yeah.
If you look at the biggest things at the box office and on TV at the moment, it's all about superheroes who have magical powers.
Mm.
It's all about these big battles against zombies and dragons. People's imaginations need firing up, and TV and movies have become these incredible, and they really are incredible. Like, if you grew up watching television in the 1980s and 90s, it was shit. There was no special effects. The only thing that you'd occasionally get is a car crash that was orchestrated and people would get out so you could see that they didn't die in it.
The A-Team and Airwolf were like the most dramatic.
And people are like, wow, a helicopter, or wow, a car. We haven't seen those except for the last 40 years.
Yeah, all you have to do really is watch an old James Bond.
Yeah. And now these shows are everything. So there is no one in television who comes close to Game of Thrones at the moment.
Mm.
There's no one in movies who comes close to the Marvel comic universe.
Mm.
And this is how people, this is what they want to do with their spare time. And who the hell am I to judge? I get into it.
Well, out of the 10 trending topics on Twitter, 9 of them are devoted to Game of Thrones this morning.
For heaven's sake, don't say what they are.
Well, firstly, I can't even pronounce these character names.
Yeah, because if you say what they are, then that's going to give something away.
Not going to say a thing.
What I've noticed, though, is that just speaking to people about Game of Thrones and whether or not you watch it, people have either watched it for 10 or 15 minutes, the series one, episode one, or they've watched it, the whole thing.
It's like either ends of the spectrum, there's no in between.
It's worse than that, because what you end up with is you've also got those people who love to tell you that they've never watched it, and they think that that's some kind of
a badge of honor.
Yeah, it's like an achievement that you haven't. It's like me saying, well, I'm a non-astrologer. It's not a position. It's not interesting. Nobody cares. Just move on, you know? So you don't believe in this, you don't watch this, you don't care about this. So what? You ruin it for the people who do.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Oh, you're big time. Oh, I've got friends who, because I put this thing up on my Facebook and I said, who's a real, you know, who's a fan of this stuff? And then invariably you get people who are fans and you get people who say, no, never watched an episode, never could, such shit.
Oh.
Wow.
So vehement.
All right. Well, if you're so cross about it, but you've never watched it, how do I know that you know anything?
Oh, shame. Yeah.
How do I know that you know anything? If you know you hate it, but you've never seen it. It's like those people who say to you, I know that everything about, you know, a certain political party is just wrong. And you're like, well, what do you know about them? Well, I know they're wrong, but tell me what their policy is. I haven't read that.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much work.
No, most people haven't.
If Game of Thrones was around in the 90s, this is how the soundtrack would sound.
Oh, cool. Very Depeche Mode.
Imagine a horrible opening sequence with this kind of music.
Pew, pew.
I actually don't hate it. You talk about TV in the 90s. Well, that's all we knew. We thought, of course it was amazing.
I know, but if you grew up now, I mean, to see a dragon, for heaven's sake. You know, these are beasts of mythology.
Mm.
These are things that we know for a fact that were never really dragons. They were never fire-breathing dragons. We might have had dinosaurs, and that might have stuck in the human consciousness in terms of, you know, the way that birds eventually evolved out of that same family, and maybe humans have always drawn pictures of these scary monsters from their imaginations. But we've never actually been able to, like, experience a dragon in 3D. Like, now you can see it for real.
Well, there was the never-ending story.
It was a fucking dog. It was a flying dog. It was a bullshit thing. I've never been so bored by a movie in my life.
And
that
then
was a shit movie. I hated never-ending story. Who wants to see a flying dog like a flying Maltese poodle?
And then there was Harry Potter. There were dragons in Harry Potter.
Yeah, well.
And lots of other sorts of creatures. Really.
Look, you see, like I got into Harry Potter, but not like this. This thing's just, it seeps right in. And maybe it's because it's been on TV for so long, and Harry Potter, there were only, what, 3-4 movies?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what it is that makes some things stick and other things not.
Yeah.
But it's really, it's also the good acting, there's characterization. And here's another thing that they've realized in a show like this, is they've realized people want complicated stories. They want complex characters. They want weird relationships. They want to see the world that they see in real life, where everything isn't just black and white. They aren't just bad people and good people, right? They want to see bad people, but occasionally the bad people look like they might be human, and then they become bad again, or maybe they stay in a good place. And then they see bad people who show some, like, incredibly deep, thoughtful, spiritual, kind, interesting characteristics, and good people who often are just very vacuous and plain. And this is the way the real world is. People don't want to see shows anymore where it's just there's a good guy and the good guy just finds the bad guys and exacts,
like Starsky and Hutch,
right? Because you knew they were good guys, right? Or
did you really make that Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah, I mean, I don't
example.
Even, I'm trying to remember, like, Starsky and Hutch, but I honestly can't. He was the cop, right?
There were two cops, okay. Partners, Starsky and Hutch.
The only one I remember is, like, Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller.
Yes, that Snoop Dogg. Horrible remake. You
know, it was bad.
Oh, can I tell you about something horrible that I watched over the weekend?
Yes, go on.
Massive waste of my time.
What?
It's a Clint Eastwood movie. That's why I'm so disappointed. It's called The 1517 to Paris. And Clint Eastwood directed it and put this whole movie together based on the real life event. So a couple of years ago, there was this train that departed at 1517 towards Paris. And there was this lone gunman who started shooting. And
I know the movie you're talking about. Yeah.
Have you ever watched it?
I saw a little bit of it.
Don't watch it.
No, but apparently the guys in it, the acting so bad.
Yes.
They are the actual guys.
They're the real... Yeah, so to finish off the plot, there's this lone gunman, and it just so happens that on the train, there are two members of the military and their friend who end up curbing this gunman. And they save the day. It's a great story on paper. But Clint Eastwood, I think, got a bit too high on his own artistic supply. So he decided, I'm going to take my own spin on things. I'm going to choose these real-life two military men and their real friend to star in the movie. Oy, goeie genade.
Okay, well, you know what?
I'm bad acting.
I'm kind of with you because...
It was bad.
I often like, rip actors because I don't think it's a real job and I think it's stupid. But if you see a great actor doing their thing and you see a shit actor, you can immediately tell which is which.
Wow, yes.
And obviously these guys are, like, soldiers and they're playing themselves.
Mm.
In what is essentially like a remake of, you know, like a reconstruction of true events.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a movie.
Well, and Clint Eastwood wasn't in it himself, was he?
No, he directed it.
Because I'll tell you what, I may be unpopular by saying this.
He can't act.
Shitty actor.
I don't rate him at all as an actor, and I've never liked any of the movies that he's been in.
See, I think
so why would I like his directing?
He's in a small group of people who go by a certain trait. You know, Clint Eastwood is all about the scowl. I think certain actresses like Melissa McCarthy go off, and Rebel Wilson go off by their weight. You know, just certain people go off with a certain thing. Mm. Who's the other one? Indiana Jones?
Harrison Ford.
Yes, he also goes by just a mean mug. You'll never see Clint Eastwood or Harrison Ford in a comedy.
See, I agree, says Michelle, with that Clint Eastwood movie summary of yours. It's so bad, I started watching it and I couldn't get into it.
Yikes.
No, Gareth, the Neverending Story was amazing and a labyrinth for its time, Michelle. So Labyrinth was another one that was David Bowie in. I enjoyed Labyrinth. I didn't like Neverending Story, but let's not get into what I liked and didn't. But that dog thing...
it just doesn't do it for you.
There was nothing about that was clever or interesting or creative. It was dumb. It was such sentimental shit. Honestly, because of insomnia, I started watching the finale at 3 this morning, says Sean. Out of spite, I'm going to spoil it for everyone who is being cunty towards me today.
Oh, okay.
All right, so just be nice to Sean, everybody, otherwise he will ruin it for you. A lot of people are excited about the Game of Thrones. There are no spoilers. Someone says there aren't any.
Just stay off social media. Just
give it time
to be on the safe side. rather stay off.
Did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger got kicked by someone at the Arnold Classic this weekend?
So we spoke to the organizer of that, right?
Yeah.
Price was his surname.
Wayne Price.
And so I was quite keen on checking out some of the stuff. And it's really interesting. I mean, it's like quite alternative sports and that sort of thing. But I was shocked to see this video. Did you see the actual video?
I saw it from two different angles.
Yeah, I saw the video. First of all, Arnold is a machine. And honestly, this guy he kind of moved him by an inch or two.
He's 71 years old.
He's 71 years old. And this
man, he's fit.
He even tweeted afterwards, I felt something in the back of my neck, but I thought it was just the crowd jostling me.
Yeah,
and he didn't feel it. He didn't think it was a big deal. I love this guy. And by the way, the person who did it, do we know anything about him?
Well, we know now that he's probably mentally ill.
Yeah, he must be, right?
He wanted a Lamborghini.
He started screaming, "I need a Lamborghini."
Yeah, that's
and
not
they pulled him out of the room.
Normal behavior.
If he's not mentally ill, then he must just go to jail because he's a dangerous person who has the idea that it's okay to just run into a room and kick someone.
Well, I loved how the security guard took him down immediately.
No, this is where I wish Game of Thrones was real, because I'd love to have a big fucking guy grab him and just like push his eyes out with his thumbs. When people cannot behave themselves and they behave like this, it just drives me crazy. Like, what possesses you? If I were in a room with a group of not important or famous people, the last thing I would do is launch a flying kick into someone. I said last week, and you can go and listen to the podcast again. I think it was on Tuesday last week. We were sitting here, and I said, you know, we do not understand the depth of mental illness in this country. I'm not saying this is just as a psychological or a health issue. I'm saying it's as a danger to the rest of us, those of us who are not mentally ill. There are people who, when they were in their formative years, when their brains are still developing, they didn't get enough food, their parents used to hit them or whatever, and they probably got traumatic brain injuries. I'm not making fun of this because I'm a patron for Headway, right? These people help those in our society who've had traumatic brain injuries from car accidents and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I know a little bit about this, not enough, but I'm telling you now, there are people running around South Africa who have got fucked up hardware. Like, the hardware is wrong. Now, there's no amount of education, and there's no amount of legislation, and there's no amount of political will in the world that can fix someone whose hardware is broken. And we have a society in this country where I would estimate the numbers are higher than almost anywhere in the world, because we also have parents who just don't give a damn about their kids. We have parents who sexually abuse their kids. I mean, we've got things that go on in this country that are so depraved that they don't pitch up in the statistics anywhere else. All right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Incest and rape and... Mm-hmm. I mean, our rape statistics are through the roof, and you know that most of that is within families, right? So we've got a very, very damaged, screwed up, unhealthy social fabric. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster. Now,
this is a fact.
This proves the situation with Arnold and this dude who just runs up and kicks him and then starts screaming, "I need a Lamborghini," as he pulled out of the room. This proves mental illness is everywhere. And I know Arnold Schwarzenegger, the irony is that Arnold Schwarzenegger, he started the Special Olympics, which is for people who have mental and physical disabilities. Mm-hmm. The Special Olympics more for mental, right? So it's people who have, you know, learning problems from mild ones, these are not mental illnesses, but they certainly are things that have a psychological effect on people's sociability and their ability to learn, like... what are they called? Autism. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. Right the way through to Down syndrome. And, you know, this is what he does the Arnold Classic for. It's essentially to give everybody who has a talent, anybody who has some physical pursuit that they do that keeps them happy and healthy and makes them strive towards something, whether it's skipping ropes or playing chess or whatever. This is the Arnold Classic. So he does, the irony of this man is he does a tremendous amount of good for mental health. And then he gets attacked by a lunatic. And, of course, no one's really concerned for Arnold's health, even though he's had one or two heart attacks, because the guy's built like a brick shithouse, and he can probably take a kick or two. But he was so gentlemanly about the whole thing.
He was. So, and he didn't want to give this guy any more attention than he'd already
got. That's right. Part of what he said on Twitter.
And then I see South Africans going, oh, well, this is typical of South Africa.
This is not a reflection. Could happen anyway.
Yeah, this is not a reflection on our country. What's wrong with you? It's a reflection on one incredibly sick individual. It's like when there's a school shooting that isn't representative of all the people in the world because all of us have this deep-seated desire to go and shoot people in a school. Rubbish.
It's very easy for all of us to fall into that narrative and that pattern.
It's one loony, right? I mean, just because someone's a woman and she does something crazy doesn't mean Leanne has to feel bad for all women. Just because a black person does something doesn't mean Sia is suddenly responsible for everything that that person does. I mean, imagine if you thought that way, how responsible you'd be for other people's craziness. Because there's going to be a group that you belong to at some point that gets into trouble. You know, if
the
you're
Christians
looking,
or
yeah, it could be the Christians, could be the Jews, could be the Muslims, could be the whites, could be the blacks, could be the old, could be the young, could be the rich, could be the poor. You find yourself a category and you allow yourself to be defined by that category, and pretty much straight after that you find yourself going to prison for others when you did nothing wrong. Very strange way of thinking, not particularly healthy. I don't think Arnold holds any grudges. I saw his Instagram the next day. He was at the lion park, like, petting a massive lion.
Yeah, I just think he should hold some grudge towards the security team. I would fire...
You were cross with them?
I'd fire someone. Absolutely. You have about 8 people.
All right.
You literally only have one job. That was my first reaction, seeing the video, going, where was security at this point? And especially because it is a public event, and we know, I don't mean to sound like my hysterical self, but there are, you know, who knows, the killer's out there, the crazy person's out there, someone who just wants to pull a lock of his hair out to go and build their shrine. Yeah. Where were you to defend him?
Mm-mm. I did like what he said, though.
He says, I'm just glad the idiot didn't interrupt my Snapchat. That's exactly what he was busy Snapchatting, like some girl behind him who was doing something
skipping
on the floor. Yeah. So good for him. Anyway, so that was the big story of the weekend, and we'd like to hear from you, so you can call us or message us or send us a voice note on 0797482090. Let's get into the 5 things you need to know today. All right, news. Are you ready for some news?
Are you ready for some news?
All right, so the first story that you need to know about this morning, bright and early at 6:35, is, this one's from Eyewitness News, apparently a blast hit Egypt. An explosion struck a tourist bus on Sunday near Egypt's famed pyramids, injuring 17 people, including foreigners, security and medical sources.
South Africans are amongst those injured.
Sorry, not medical sources. I just read that wrong. Including foreigners, security and medical sources said. South Africans included in that, quite right, Leanne. Egyptians were among those injured when an explosive device went off, hitting a bus, according to sources. So, apparently no one killed at this point, but people were injured. The incident comes after 3 Vietnamese holidaymakers and their Egyptian guide were killed when a roadside bomb hit their bus as they traveled near the pyramids outside Cairo. Now, this is so interesting because I was talking to someone about traveling to Egypt just the other day, and I said, well, those pyramids have been there for, you know, a couple of thousand years, and now is not the best time to go visit them. Egypt
in the last, maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago was great. During the regime, ironically, you know, when they got rid of the last dictator, the last authoritarian ruler of Egypt, who's now on trial, Al Mubarak, things have deteriorated because now there's the Muslim Brotherhood who are in charge there, as I understand it, and I haven't checked in on Egyptian politics for some time, so if I get this wrong, correct me, please. But things have really just spiraled out of control. It's a pretty messy, lawless place at the moment, Egypt. Their tourism sector has suffered for years due to a series of deadly attacks targeting holidaymakers following the turmoil of the 2011 uprising that toppled leader Hosni Mubarak. Authorities have gone to great lengths to lure tourists back, touting a series of archaeological finds and a new museum next to the pyramids, as well as an enhanced security system at airports and around ancient sites. So, if you're thinking of an Egyptian holiday, this might not be the best time.
And that's one of the most popular ways to get around Egypt, is to go on these bus tours.
Yeah, you wouldn't think you'd be in danger, right? Well, Cape Town's disaster risk management said they're on standby as a cold front is expected to make landfall in parts of the province on Monday.
Oh, that's not good news.
No, that's not good news for everybody, because you know what happens when it hits Cape Town, then invariably it comes inland and everything gets cold.
Mm. Winter is coming.
Oh, okay. Yes. So the cold front expected in the Cape metropolitan mountain areas of Cape Winelands and the Overberg districts. Units Charlotte Powell said the city's disaster management center is ready to deal with any incidents that may occur as a result of the predicted weather. So a lot of people watching that very carefully. And obviously for those of us who are not big fans of winter, that's I think the majority of us, just get ready because it's going to be chilly.
Yeah, and the thing is in the Cape it's accompanied by rain, so right. It becomes really icy and cold.
There's a story that I don't think a lot of people have paid enormous attention to. The Ukraine elected a man called Petro Poroshenko, right, in the polls just a short while ago. He's a 41-year-old guy. He's a comedian. And he is the Ukraine's youngest post-Soviet president. And the reason this is a story is he really is an outlier. He didn't do much campaigning in terms of posters and, you know, going on television debates and things. Most of his campaigning was social media. And he's been inaugurated now as president. He stepped into his new role as president, launching a new era for the country, which has been racked by war and economic difficulties. So a month after scoring a landslide victory against incumbent Petro Poroshenko, this 41-year-old becomes Ukraine's youngest post-Soviet president. That's Volodymyr Zelensky. That's the guy's name. Poroshenko is the previous president. He will swear an oath in a ceremony starting at 7 GMT, according to tradition. He will place his hand on a copy of the Constitution and possibly also a Bible. He will then give an address to the nation that will be closely watched for clues on his future course. So very little is known about this guy's policies after a campaign that capitalized on public disillusionment with the political establishment. Uniquely for a first-time president, he's played the scene before. He starred as history teacher who was unexpectedly elected president in a comedy series on TV in the Ukraine. So, you know, he played this role. It's kind of like when we talk about Donald Trump and he was on The Apprentice and then suddenly he was president.
Or it would be like Trevor Noah becoming president.
Exactly. It's just insane, right? It's a very, very cool story. If you want to look up this Ukrainian president, I think he's going to be one of the more interesting political stories of 2019. And then Google has suspended business with Huawei after a Trump blacklisting. Listen to this.
Huawei?
Google has suspended business with Huawei that requires the transfer of hardware, software, and technical services, except those publicly available via open source licensing. In a blow to the Chinese technology company that the U.S. government has sought to blacklist around the world, holders of current Huawei smartphones with Google apps will, however, continue to be able to use and download the apps provided by Google. So they're otherwise complying with the order and reviewing the implications. For users of our services, Google Play and the security protections from Google Play Protect, they'll continue to function on existing Huawei devices. So if you are on Huawei and you've got Google apps, that might be quite interesting. The suspension could hobble Huawei's smartphone business outside of China, as the tech giant will immediately lose access to updates to Google's Android operating system. So you don't say that Trump's policies don't affect us all. If you've got one of those phones, could be some interesting stuff happening on your device just around the corner. So real effects from the Chinese-American trade war. That, funny enough, Anthea is always the one who she's the one who comes and tells us what's happening. And she's going to be in a minute or two to give us some more updates. And Emilia Clarke is overwhelmed that Game of Thrones is ending with its eighth and final season. And for many people who woke up at 3 this morning, you would already know how that goes. The 32-year-old actress who plays Daenerys Targaryen in the HBO fantasy series has posted a very sweet tribute on her Twitter to her on-screen alter ego as the show wraps its eighth and final season on this evening in America and obviously anytime you want from here on in. She said on Instagram, "Finding the words to write this post left me overwhelmed with how much I want to say, but how small words feel in comparison to what the show and Dany have meant to me, the mother of dragons, blah, 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 blah." She says, "Dear kind fans, I owe you so much for making my life.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that's very sweet. So she's very moved by what happened in Game of Thrones and this whole experience of, what was it, the last 8 to 9 years of her life.
Sure.
This woman's been part of it. So there we go. That's the five things you need to know today. Ben is not here for the sport this morning. Let's get Anthea in and see what she has to say. It's time for us to work hard for your money. So hard for it, honey.
Oh.
Yes. Good morning, Anthea.
Never mind. No, last week I was told not to
don't
make
spoil
everything
it.
A song. Okay.
Please.
Never mind.
If you don't mind, Sia. Just for today.
Shame he can't help himself.
I have to actually like restrict myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get someone. Let's get the professional. Disco song with Anthea. I don't know if you've heard this version.
I am loving that you still find new versions of the song after
me.
Like
other
4 years.
Other people are finding it. I swear to you. I have nothing to do with this. People, they mail me new versions of your song all the time.
That sounds like disco in the DRC, though, with that accent.
Money.
Yeah. Mm,
what we really need is one of our listeners to do their version again, because I did love that one.
Well, you're here now, and let's hear what you've got to say for us on the money front. Couple of things going on. The South African unemployment rate came out last week. How are we looking?
Oh, terrible. And market commentators really were up in arms. And it's so weird. I'm not sure why. It's as if they didn't expect this. So unemployment increased by 0.5% to 27.6%. Very disappointing, obviously. But I'm almost kind of, like, I kind of listen to everyone commentating and going, what were you expecting? You know, we've gone around changing the constitution to change property rights. You don't really think that foreign investors are going to come into South Africa and go, yes, why don't I build a factory on this piece of land, buy this piece of land, build a factory, and maybe they'll take it away from me. Yeah. Or, even worse, maybe they won't let me expatriate my profits.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it is I think Cyril got it, because the next day he was speaking at some conference and he actually said, I actually wrote it down here. So he said, we would not ask, or government would not ask foreign investors to put money into South Africa and then tomorrow take your land away. And he was saying that this is not something that any sensible person does, which I thought, well, that's a bit of a turnaround from pre-election kind of rambling.
How dare he refer to the ANC as sensible? He knows they're not okay. Sensible. He's in there.
Funny what you pick up on.
No, okay. I mean, I'm telling you, know, if, I'm taking him at his word.
Sure.
What he's basically saying is all those people who've been supportive of expropriation without compensation, including me, because that's what he did support in Parliament, These people are not sensible. That's what he's saying.
There you go.
And of course, here it is. You know, logic and reason will always win over all your fantasies. And your fantasy might be that you can get international people to bring their money here and you can just steal it. Your fantasy might be that you can just expropriate people who own something now because you think it's unfair that they have something and you don't. But rationality and reason will always win out the day. People know not to give their money to lunatics.
Yeah.
And that's what Cyril's trying to now patch back together.
Exactly. He's saying, be cool about it. Be smart. And
it was at the Goldman Sachs talk.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Were you there? Did you hear him talk? Oh, okay.
I don't go to things at Cyril.
Oh, right. Are we not happy with Cyril at the moment? What are they? Government Sachs, as they're called in the US, eh? So I've done quite a bit of work recently, just from an economic system point of view. And what I read such a great article 2 weeks ago that said redistribution does not work. And the reason I'm saying this is because I'm looking at whether capitalist or socialist or communism or blah, 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 all those different economic systems and trying to get my head around what's a good one. But and you know none of it's purist, right? We don't have a pure capitalist system. And you probably will never find it. But, redistribution does not work. That I do know.
Well, good luck to all those people who still think it does, and I hope you find a way to make it successful without killing another 100 million people. Because that's what history's given us so far. That's the death count for socialism so far.
Wow.
100 million. makes Hitler look like he's playing in the fields.
Jeepers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you add up the Soviet Union, Mao's China, Fidel Castro's Cuba, all the South American countries that at some point have flirted with this Bolivar and Che Guevara and all of these guys, go and have a look at them. You've got countless examples of this being done in the Eastern Bloc, in Eastern Europe, you know, Ceausescu and all of these people. And then you've got those countries that were allied to, you know, China and Russia in the East during the Cold War. The death toll is mounting.
Gareth, I'm not sure how you attribute an economic system to death. Are these people who were killed because they opposed it?
Social engineering. So what happens with socialism is all about the government makes the rule and everybody has to follow it. And their stated purpose is to make everybody equal.
Mm.
And to do so, you really have to deal with those who don't comply.
Yeah.
And often that means death.
Oh, that's awful.
So we're not talking about capital flows or changes in ownership or any of this stuff. It's kolkhoz and sovkhoz, forced labor camps and farms. And I mean, Stalin was the master at this, and he couldn't even get it right. So what chance does any current dictator have?
Oh, please, can we move on? It suddenly got very depressing.
But this is all right. You can go. The only book that you need to read in respect to this is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago, which is worth as much time as you have. Every single second you spend with that book will be worth it.
Okay. Archipelago.
Archipelago. Yeah. The Gulag
Archipelago.
Archipelago. All right, so let's get back to the story.
Okay, so
unemployment.
Well, we're done with that, right?
Are we not miserable about it?
Yes, we're a bit.
Young people in particular are... Over 60% of the young people in South Africa are unemployed. That's a very scary number.
Two out of three, yeah?
Yeah. And remember, a lot of these people will never get jobs.
Yeah.
There's the scarier statistic. It's not just that these people are unemployed, but as we've said before, a lot of them are unemployable. They don't have any skills. They are not literate. They're not numerate.
There's a lot of talk about including the informal market when you look at employment, but I'm not sure that's the answer to it. Like, that's just a cop-out, quite frankly. And then, of course, the expanded rate is 38%. Those are people who have stopped looking for employment. So, for sure, the unemployment numbers are very depressing. But what were you expecting? Mm-hmm. It's time to get economic growth.
All right, let's look at some other stuff.
Yeah. So we had a few companies reporting last week. Netcare, they guided to headline earnings per share up 3.5% on an adjusted basis. I think the main feature of Netcare's trading statement really was that Discovery's... hospital plans are actually impacting their network, so Netcare being one of them, and basically keeping people out of hospital. So what you're seeing is occupancy falling from 65.3% to 64.5%, which seems low, but if one insurance company impacts kind of bed occupancy rates, then it definitely impacts on the hospital's revenue or profit generating ability. So I think that was quite interesting.
Right.
And basically, I would say the growth really came from Akeso, which is one of the hospitals that they acquired last year.
Wow. All right.
Vodacom, pretty much the same story. Really ugly. They're really struggling in South Africa. These numbers were an absolute disaster. If it wasn't for Safaricom, which is the African business, I think it would have been even worse. They missed on both sides of headline earnings and dividend consensus. Headline earnings declining by 6.6% and dividends declining by 2.5% for the full year results.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, the BE transaction, the Yebo Yetu transaction, cost them quite dearly this year as well. And I think just also, you know, the competitive environment is getting more difficult for Vodacom.
What's the Yebo Yetu thing?
That's that's Vodacom's BE scheme.
Okay.
And basically, it matured out of the money.
What does that mean?
It means nobody made a profit and the banks lost and the company had to pay for it and.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah.
Okay. Another great success story for BEE. All right. What about Dis-Chem? What can you tell us about them?
Yeah. So where do I start? Revenue growth was up 10%, but, which sounds great, but because of the, that's because of the strikes, we were expecting 13%. So it was disappointing, and definitely the market did not like this number. Headline earnings per share, which is the real number we look at because we want to compare apples with apples, not just revenue, was up 7%. And the most important factor here was the strike, which resulted in 50 million rand in direct costs and 26 million rand in indirect additional financial impact or loss of sales. So, yeah, I think Dis-Chem just struggling a little bit as well to get going there. It, you know, it's an interesting model because you have to wonder how they're going to expand because really Dis-Chem's model is now, after they've set up all these big shops with not just what do you call it, retail goods, you know, like perfumes and lotions
like
and that.
A super hypermarket of chemistry.
Health and
stuff.
Wellness. Yeah. They also do these pharmacies. And they're also now buying up the mom-and-pop pharmacies, the little small pharmacies. So I don't know if you've noticed, but they're suddenly starting to disappear.
Oh, really?
The issue is, though, you cannot run a pharmacy, you cannot officially open a pharmacy if there is not a pharmacist on the premises. So if you're buying out a pharmacy, a mom-and-pop pharmacy, somehow you have to retain the pharmacist, which is becoming an interesting issue for this scheme. And it'll be pretty much the same with Clicks, and I think you'll see that Clicks would have stopped doing that, where Dis-Chem continues to do it. And while we're talking about retailers, we also had Spar. That was a bit of a mixed bag. Normalized headline earnings per share was up 7.4%, which again seems okay. But that was really because of a big swing in Forex. You know, they had a nice big Forex gain. They've got shops all over the world. Turnover was okay. It was okay. Like, it wasn't exciting. It wasn't dreadful. They also announced that they're moving into Poland now. So we're going to have Spa Island everywhere. Mm. Yeah. Switzerland.
Wow.
Yeah. UK.
Very
good. All over the place.
Yeah. All right.
Bring your spa wherever you are.
Very good.
So, two new listings, that are interesting to us, and we've spoken about them innumerable times, but MTN Nigeria.
Finally!
Going
right?
ahead.
Yay!
Huh?
Finally, MTN Nigeria listed. How long have we been talking about this?
Since the beginning of Game of Thrones.
The look on your face, Anthea, it's genuinely got you so relieved and pleased.
All right. Well, you know the MTN story, Zia. You know that they've got problems with the Nigerian government. You know that they need cash. So when they list, they basically sell off shares and they take the cash, because what would happen is people like you and me in Nigeria would have bought shares. MTN gets the cash for their shares, strengthening their balance sheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I look so happy. They floated $6.5 billion on Thursday. They are now the second largest company on the Nigerian Stock Exchange after Dangote Cement. There you go. Very exciting. Yes. And not only that, but the share was up 10% on Friday, its second day of trading. That's after closing 10% higher on Thursday. So basically a 20% gain, nominal.
And tell us about Uber.
And then Uber. Uber's long-awaited listing. I mean, I don't even know what to say about this. The first day, the share fell 8%. The second day, it fell 5%, I think. It listed at $45 per share, raised $8.1 billion of cash, so cash to the company, valuing the company at $82 billion. So this is for a company, by the way, that has not made or turned a profit yet and has no plans in the near future. Or if they do have plans, they're not telling us about
to
it.
To turn a profit. So,
yes.
We have no plans to make a profit, but go ahead and invest.
But you're worth $82 billion.
Dollars. Sure. Sounds good to me.
There were all sorts of stories over the weekend about how one of the Uber employees had to resign because of the parties they had. One of the branches had to be closed down because apparently there was a note going out saying, please be respectful, don't drink too much alcohol, don't party too hard.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You kind of see that company culture, right?
It's the basis of a very successful company.
And they say don't drink and drive.
There you go.
Well, drink an Uber. Yeah. Maybe it's promoting business, actually.
Sure. Yeah. I hope it wasn't the drivers at the party. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes. That would be a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I hear you're talking about Bitcoin later.
Yes, we are. We're talking to guys who started a business not so long ago. It's called Revix. I don't know if you've heard about it.
No, I haven't. Tell me.
They are a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform, making it safe and easy for South Africans to invest in cryptocurrencies. So they sell these things in bundles, which allow you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies. Because there are a lot of these smaller altcoins people don't know about. And if you do know about them, you're not sure whether you should get in or whether you should get out or whether you should stay the hell away. And they do all the research for you. They will put together these bundles. You increase your return potential and reduce your investment risk, while their automatic rebalancing will ensure that you always get to hold the top assets. So,
oh, wow. Some of them have made a bit of money because Bitcoin has practically doubled in the last 6 months, right?
That's correct. We're back. We're back on there.
$8,000, or somewhere near there, right?
That's right. And we're going to speak to Sean Saunders just now. He's from Revex, and we'll find out from him what it's all about.
I'll definitely be listening in.
Marvelous. Thank you, Anthea.
All right, guys.
All right, very good. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot, CliffCentral.com. Almost 7 o'clock. When we come back, we'll hit some cryptocurrencies up and give you some idea of what Revex are on about. And then we'll get into some news stories and some of the things that you need to know.
Because there's a lot of news.
Plenty, plenty. So stick around. Busy morning, Monday.
This is CliffCentral.com.